we come, O Father God, at this hour. And Lord, and we call upon you, O God. Because, Lord, you are our help. And we know of no other, O God, that we can call on that who would be faithful and true. Lord, we thank you, O Father God, Lord, that you would allow us to come together on this day to worship you, O Father God, Lord, collectively. Yet, O Father God, we all, O Father, may be present today facing various issues. But we thank you, dear Lord, that we can come and be of one mind and one heart, be of one accord, O dear God, and Lord, and we can worship and praise you, O God. Thank you, Lord. And thank you, O dear God, Lord, that even though we are here collectively as one, thank you, dear Lord, that you are able to hear all of our cries. And Lord, and you're not thrown off or confused or perplexed in any way, O Father God, as you distinguish each of our voices, O God. And Lord, and you hear us and you answer our prayer, O God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, dear God, that man didn't make me. Because, Lord, he made the sign that he might not want to give me enough of what I need. And, Lord, what I need now is my life is a little more Jesus, oh God. I need more of you than I need anything, oh God. Because, Lord Jesus, it's you who matters. It's your kingdom is what matters, oh dear God. And so, Lord, I ask, O Father, on behalf of everyone that sitteth under the sound of my voice, dear God, that you would just help us to desire more of you, O God. And a little less of the things that we know, dear God, Lord, that does not benefit us spiritually. So, God, today I ask, O Lord, that you would empower me to speak your word, O God. And Lord, as you give me power, dear God, Lord, I pray, O Father God, Lord, that your word would enlighten, encourage, edify, and inspire us. But most of all, dear God, we don't want to leave without being transformed. Lord, may your word convict us and convince us. And Lord, and as that person or persons who don't know Jesus and depart in their sin would hear the word, I pray that your word would persuade those individuals unto salvation. Because again, I believe the gospel, as it said, that the message of Christ is the power of God unto salvation, unto all those that believe. And so, God, I pray, Father, for the believer today, that you will correct us unto righteousness, O God, that we might be thoroughly furnished and equipped and ready for every good work. We ask it now in Jesus' name. Let the redeemed of the Lord say amen and amen. Amen, amen. If you don't mind this morning, would you just join me in giving God a big round of applause? Amen. 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 He is good. And his mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. For your Bible reading on today, let us turn to the book of Daniel. And the fifth chapter. If you bought your copy of the Word of God with you, whether it be my smartphone or iPad, iPhone, whatever tablet, just flip to it. Daniel chapter 5, amen. We want to look at beginning at verses 13. Daniel chapter 5, beginning at verses 13. Amen. And it reads as follows. Then was Daniel brought in before the king, king spake and said unto Daniel, watch him, he says, art thou that Daniel which art of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Jewry? Because I have heard of thee, that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. Mind you now that the king had been struggling with a handwriting that was on the wall. He says, and now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me that they should read this writing, Danny, and make known unto me the interpretation thereof, but they could not show me the interpretation of the thing. He said, I have heard of you, that thou canst make interpretations and dissolve doubt. Now, if thou can read the writing, he said, if you can do this and make known to me the interpretation thereof, Dan, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about thy neck and shalt be the third ruler in the kingdom. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, he said, let thy gift be to thyself. He said, keep your stuff and give your reward to another. In other words, Daniel said, I don't want it. Yet I will read the writing unto the king and make known to him the interpretation. Amen. I want to speak to you from this topic. Simply, it's your time. Amen. Now. It's your time. To God, who is our Father, Jesus Christ, our Savior, the Holy Spirit, our Comforter, to Dr. Newton, to Reverend Moore and Reverend Johnson, in their absence, to our officers, to our mothers, we give you honor on today. Thank you to our ushers as you have helped us to navigate through this worship service, and I do give honor to our music ministry. Amen. Thank you for encouraging us through music. Amen. And to all of our Father's children that are present on this morning, whether you be a member, visitor, or friend, it is just good for us to be here on this morning. Amen.
Amen.
As I've been looking at the story of Daniel in this fifth chapter and the writing on the wall, it's interesting that the time that it took to write the words upon the wall was minimal compared to all of the aftermath. And my brothers and sisters, I said that, say this, that's how life can become. It doesn't take long for an action to occur that can change your entire life.
Come on, Pastor. Yes, sir.
I know I'm right about it. A split-second decision can become the difference between life and death.
All right.
A decision of passion can mean the difference between a life of happiness and a life behind prison walls. A circumstance occurring in the household for a few minutes can cause years and years of grief, turmoil, and trouble. Maybe this morning you've never experienced it, but I've seen lives wrecked because of the person in the home who promised to love and honor, protect, provide, and nurture become the main spokesman of grief, agony, dishonor, destruction, and verbal abuse. I have seen lives wrecked when some people have made a decision that they knew were illegal, but they decided to make that move anyhow, even though surveillance cameras were not visibly present, and because of their decisions, Now they're struggling with jobs that's hard to come by, a stigma that's attached to their soul, and it looked like they would never be able to escape a decision made as a teenager that had ramifications over the course of their lives. I've seen that happen. In just a matter of moments, your life can change forever. Paul, please, brother, hear me, my brothers and sisters, because there are those of us who are sitting here right now who's looking all pretty and prim and cute and cuddly. That's right now in this room who wear godly garments of praise that has fell down on purpose, who have slipped up and gotten torn up and manufactured our own circumstances and have even felt the effects of our own decision making. But this is a twofold, because not only can you make a decision that will work against you, there are some decisions you make today that will give you benefit in the future. If you don't believe me, just talk to this class of 2018. Yeah, I'm not talking to those young men and women that have marched down the aisles of academia, but I mean those persons who decided that a year ago that I'm going to live better. I'm going to do better. I'm going to walk better. I'm going to talk better. I'm going to love better and do it all by the grace of God. I'm talking to that crowd of 2018. The decisions that you made, that you make, rather, this year, can have a lifelong and even eternal benefits. And if you decide to give your life to God, God will bless you with benefits of eternal life. He'll bless you with a mansion in glory of joy, everlasting peace and tranquility with him, but he also expects some return upon his investment. Yeah, God just don't invest in us and don't expect no return. You know, it's just like you invest in your money. You don't go and invest your money in no kind of stocks and bonds or whatever it is, and you don't expect a return. All right. Amen. Amen. And so it is with God. Yeah, it is this in the life of Daniel. Daniel is now serving under his fourth king since Babylon has overruled Israel. And Daniel and his companions, better known as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, have now become entrenched in the system of laws and precepts of the land of Babylon. Babylon, my brothers and sisters, is not Israel. No, it's not. Because Israel had but one God, and that was Jehovah. But when you look at Babylon, Babylon is polytheistic, which means she had many different gods. That there were over some 17 different gods that were served in Babylon. And the king served them. The king's wives served them. The king's sons and daughters served them. And the king's chicks on the side served them, better known as concubines. Amen. Can I get a witness? Talk back to me if you can. You know, if you don't still have concubines, don't say nothing. Amen. But throughout the course of four different kings, Daniel, Pastor Newton, refused to serve and worship those kings and continued to serve God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Amen. He was committed. He was sold out to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I know we're living in a time and live in a country that says we worship like Israel, but I disagree. I disagree with it. Why? Because we live in a land now where people are worshiping many gods. Even right now here in this country that says on their money, God bless America. Yeah, right here in the sanctuary of the South. Yeah, I've been a Southern boy all my life. Right here in the sanctuary of the South, I think we can all agree that there is an oversized population of people who do not serve God. And if they don't serve a God, then they serve none at all. And I'm like Daniel in this regard. Go ahead and serve who you may want to serve. But I have decided to serve the Lord. I'm like Joshua. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. In fact, about it, I have no other hunger for nobody but him. And the reason I will continue to serve him while others serve their gods is because my God is portable. Yeah. Amen. In other words, then, I know that went over y'all head. Then let me help you out. See, I don't have to carry him around. He carries me around. Yeah, I don't have to paint his picture or create an image of him because he is a spirit. Yeah. My Bible tells me they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. But the reason I serve him is because my grandmama said he's a bridge over troubled water. Yeah, my grandmama used to say, son, he's water when you're thirsty. She would say, he's bread when you're hungry. That's why I serve him. Amen. Daniel, for the tenure of four kings, from Nebuchadnezzar to the current king, Belshazzar, has been serving the Lord. And when you read Daniel chapter 4 and 5, you'll discover very little is said about Daniel, and that may be because when you serve God, he will take care of you without a lot of fanfare. Yeah. What are you saying, Myron Holmes? See, let one of us do something for someone. Yeah. Let one of us do something in the community or in the church and don't get recognized for it. We end up mad and rolling our eyes at everybody because we get a bad case of tick-tivityism. That means you're ticked off. Yeah. Why? Because my name wasn't documented or I wasn't given credit for what I just did. I wish I had some. Talk back to me if you can. I'm looking at some people right now that you've never been in the front pages of the local newspaper. I'm looking at some folk you've never been amplified for your community service. You've never appeared in Essence Magazine, but God has taken care of you. For the course of four kings, I see in this text that Daniel has been taken care of. And I ought to have some witnesses here that you and I have been taken care of in the background quietly in the administration of every president in the past. And even in the times of Donald J. Trump, God will take care of you. I wish I had some witnesses. This background character, Daniel, is about to go from the background to the foreground. God has been preparing Daniel for this time. Yeah, it's your time. Daniel's resume has prepared him for this event. And we think sometimes that the event is prepared for us when in actuality, God prepares us for that time. Prepares us for that place, for that event, that circumstance, that situation. Why? So that we can be the right person at the right time. The reason why some of us are still struggling and wondering why when is my time going to come? Guess why? You're still struggling because guess what? You ain't letting God prepare you for the time. Right. Some of us are not ready yet. Right. Let me help you out. Here's how God do this. In the year of 2009, U.S. Airways Flight 1549, which after takeoff from New York City's LaGuardia Airport, struck a flock of Canadian geese just northeast of George Washington Bridge, and consequently lost all engine power. Unable then to reach any airport, pilot Chesley Sullenberger and his co-pilot glided the plane to a ditch in the Hudson River off Midtown Manhattan. And in that accident that almost, that was, could have been terrible, all 455 passengers aboard survived and were rescued with very few serious injuries. And all I'm trying to get at is say, see, Sullenberger had received training years ago that he thought he'd never have to use during working hours. But God had prepared him for a time like that. Lord, how much is he? What are you saying? See, Daniel had been prepared by the Spirit of God for a time like he was facing today. Look at his resume. His curriculum vitae that the king says about him. In other words, he gives a little brief biography sketch of Daniel. But before I go any further, when God is with you, even those who oppress you have to take notice of you. That bless somebody. Because there's some folks that you're surrounded by, some folks even on your job. Guess what? They've been trying to oppress you. But God will have them to take notice of you. The king says, first, look, watch him. He's very arrogant to me. The king says first, he says, look, now, are you the same Daniel that was stolen from your native land of Judah? He asked, are you the same Daniel that my predecessor, Nebuchadnezzar, my father, brought from your one God-serving country to our many God-worshiping country? He said, Daniel, I heard that you have the spirit of the gods in you. I heard, Daniel, that you are something special. I heard you have light, understanding, and excellent wisdom in you. Daniel, I've got a problem with some writing on the wall. And my wise men aren't wise enough. My astrologers, they can't find interpretations on the maps. Daniel, I've heard that you are able to make interpretations and to settle any doubts about this thing on the wall. Danny, if you can read the writing, I will put clothes of the king on your back. Dan, if you can come through for me, he said, man, I give you a chain of gold befitting that of a king around your neck. And not only that, man, I will change the rules for you. If you know, we do that in, you know, in the body of Christ and everywhere else we be. See, we change the rules for certain folk. But he said, Dan, I'll change the rule for you, man. Look, I take you from slavery and make you the third highest ruler in my kingdom. Now, I don't know how you feel about it, but I see that Daniel has been prepared for a time like this. I can see God telling Daniel, he said, look, boy, it's your time. Look at what God has been doing in Daniel. God allowed Daniel to be kidnapped from Judah, but he has allowed his captors to put his name before the king. See, God would allow you to get in some difficult circumstances. Yeah. God might allow you to be in a pit somewhere in your life, but God will put some folk around you, and he would expose your gift, and when it's time for you to come up, you know, you'd be like the robber. You said, I started from the bottom, but now I'm here. Yeah, he'll raise you up and put you here because he'll cause some folks to remember your name. God put into Daniel a spirit, not of those God, but his spirit. That same spirit allowed him to shine, allowed him to be noticed. And see, baby, you ain't got to strut your stuff in front of people. You ain't got to just walk in the spirit of God. God will allow everything about you to be noticed. God put into Daniel's life, spirit, light, and excellent wisdom without the benefit of a college degree or without man-made apparatus. God gave Daniel spiritual gifts that no man in the kingdom possessed. He gave him, listen, the gift of interpretation. He gave him the gift of dissolving doubts, gave him the gift of reading what God has written on the wall, and he gave him the gift of being able to speak boldly what he has read. So Daniel, my brothers and sisters, he understood something here. As I prepare to take my seat, maybe I might be by myself on this, but when God makes a way for you, you don't have to depend on people for your blessings. Do you hear me? I said, when God makes a way for you, you don't have to depend on people for your blessings. I don't care how much Joker think they in control or something, they over you and charging you with this and that. Look, when God makes a way for you, look, you don't have to depend on people for your blessing. Do y'all hear me? You depend on God.
Daniel could have negotiated his blessing and could have asked for more than what the king offered. But according to the text, Daniel decided that instead of taking everything that a king could give him, why not take everything that the Lord has to give you? Because guess what? I agree with the songwriter. What God has for me, it is for me. What he got for you is not for Myron Holmes. And what he got for Myron Holmes is not for you. So the king offered him garments of scarlet. But is there a witness here that God is able to put all kinds of shoes on your feet, clothes on your back, hats on your head, shirts on your back? God can take you from faded glory, baby, to wearing Ralph Lauren. He can take you from wearing Stardust to wearing Reebok. He can take you from wearing Arrow shirts to wearing Stephen Lance. This is God's doing. Because when he bless you in an overflow. King offered him a chain of gold. Just one chain. But there ought to be some witnesses here this morning that when the Lord bless you, he can give you more than just one thing. See, he offered him a chain of gold. But God is able, when he blesses, to give you more than just one thing, baby. He can put chain after chain on you. And not only that, my brothers and sisters, he can overflow your basket until it runs over to even those that are against you. You'll give them a little something. I wish I had some folk that knew the word of God up here this morning. The king, watch this, offered him the third ruler position in the kingdom. But I'm a witness here that God is able to promote you before you even get started. I like that because, see, God can take you from third to second. And if you're not careful, God can take you from second to first. Amen. Because, see, guess what? See, I know some folks in here that you probably in position. The people that got 5,000 degrees on their wall, and guess what? They got all that education and still weren't smart enough to do what you're doing. And then God, look, God fix it up so where you got to train them smart folk. Can I just stop by here and tell somebody that's called favor? Anybody ever heard of favor? When God wants to bless you, can't nobody stop you. When God wants to elevate you, can't nobody stop you. When God want to make your name great, can't nobody stop you. When God said it's your time, can't nobody stop you, baby. I wish some of us would stop trying to please others in order to get a promotion. That was for somebody there. See, there's some of y'all on your jobs, you run around, you trying to please other folk. But the Bible tells me you don't be men pleasers. But some of y'all trying to please other folk just to get a promotion. But guess what? I'm like Daniel. I don't want that kind of promotion. Just give me favor. Favor outdo promotion any day, baby. Favor will take you, look, will take you where promotions can't take you. Favor will take you where degrees can't take you. Favor will take you places where other folks have tried to block you from entering. Just give me favor. Daniel says, that king, you can keep your stuff. King, keep your gifts to yourself. Give those rewards to somebody else that's going to keep ground nosing with you. Then Daniel says, King, I'm not bragging, but he says, I'm not boasting. He said, I'm just spacking. He said, it's just confirmation that I will read the writing on the wall. Because, see, if you remember, the king just told Daniel, see, I got wise men, they can't do it. I got astrologers, and they don't even know what to do. They admitted that this thing was out of their league, Daniel. So Daniel admits that with God, that all things are possible. Daniel says, I will read it because I was built for a day like the day. Daniel said, I was built because it's my time. I was prepared for a day like the day. This is my opportunity that God has set up for me. I'm done here, but I would just like to thank you for listening to the word of God. I do want you to know that I do approve of this message. This word is somebody for somebody today in this camp. And what you have gone through in life God has set it up for you for a time like today. This is your time to move from the background and take your place in the foreground. Today is your day to help somebody. Today is your day to minister to somebody. Today is your day to encourage somebody, to love somebody. Today is your day to pray for somebody. Today is your day to lift up somebody. Today is your day to lay hands on somebody. Today is your day to tell somebody how good God has been. Is there anybody here? God has had you in the background, and God is now saying that today, he said, I'm moving you from the back to the front. God said, today I'm moving you from the tail to the head. I'm moving you from the ground floor to the penthouse. I'm moving you from the end of the line to the front of the line. I'm moving you from mediocre to maximum, from low to high, from sick to well, from good to blessed, from okay to all right. I'm moving you from the ground to the sky. Because, see, I know he'll do that because Jesus is my example. Jesus was in preparation for some 33 and a half years. He was born to die in the fullness of time. And guess what he did? He died on a cross. He went from heaven to earth. He went from earth to a cross. He went from the cross to a grave. He went from the grave to a resurrection. And he went from a resurrection to an ascension. And guess what? He gonna descend because he's coming back again, baby. Anybody know he's coming back? And one of these old days, he's going to come and he's going to rescue his church. He's going to take us all back with him. I mean, he's coming back for a church without a spot, a wrinkle, or blemish. Aren't you excited about that? Oh, I'm done. All I come to tell you today that it's your time. Whatever it is that God is assigning you today, it's your time. Now, my friend, what you can't be afraid of is to step out on what God is ministering to your heart. I don't care whether it's on your job, and especially in the body of Christ, because guess what? God now, he wants to raise up some people that y'all that's going to be about his business. God want to raise up a generation, y'all, that's not concerned about how I used to and how we used to do some stuff, because we ain't dealing with a used to generation. We're dealing with a generation of people that need this word, and we need to cut it straight. That's the kind of generation we're dealing with now. We're dealing with a generation of people that you can't come and be beating around the bush and talking through smoke screens. You just got to come on out with it and tell them what thus saith the Lord. But there is a way to tell them that we might win them to Christ. God is looking for a generation that's concerned about lost souls. And y'all, it's our time. It's your time. It's my time. What are we going to do about it? That's something you need to answer. What are you going to do about it? Are we going to keep on making excuses? Saying, well, every time, you know, be like the man at the pool, but that's the, every time he get ready to get in the pool, well, you know, I couldn't get in there, Lord, because somebody beat me in there. No. We can't keep making that excuse. All we have to do is just step up to the plate and just invite God. So now, Lord, I'm willing to do whatever it is that you want me to do. Because it's my time. And you know what your time is. You know what God is ministering to your heart, where he wants to use you, not only in the body of Christ, but even in your home, in your community, on your job, wherever you may be at. God is ready to use you. He's ready for you to step up to the plate. But we got to stop making the excuses. We've got to step out like Daniel. And quit listening at what people are promising us. All right. Thinking that our blessings and our promotion is hinged upon what somebody's saying. All right. We're thinking our promotion and blessings are built up on because somebody been there longer than you. Look, baby, I know folks that have been in places longer than me and did a whole lot of other stuff. But guess what? It's not their time. All right. God gave them their time and they didn't do nothing with the time. Because when they got there, they made it all about them and not about him. And when you get in places and trying to make stuff about you and not about God, God will bypass you and give it to folk that's going to make it about him. Okay, what it is. Whatever it is, he'll do it. Let me say this. And I'm done here and I'm going to give an invitation to Christ. Even in my own life, before God would assign me to pastorship, it was said that boy, he ain't got no degrees. He ain't got this and he ain't got that. He's Southern Baptist. He all kinds of stuff. They were saying all kinds of things about Myron Holmes. But what they didn't know is, see, Myron Holmes had a great teacher. And Myron Holmes was a laborer before he ever began to stand behind any podium and express the word of God. God was teaching Myron Holmes how to expose the word of God before Myron Holmes ever thought about even going to any kind of seminary. God was doing that then. And even now, I'm not bragging, I'm just facting. That even now, I know rascals got so many seminary degrees, and guess what? And they can't expose this word yet. Pastor, know I'm telling the truth. I know he know he done been around a long time. There are folk that got so many degrees, they still can't preach this word. They don't know how to exegete and extract from this word. But I thank God that he put me in a place, in a position under some people that cared about how Myron was going to handle the word of God and gave me opportunity. Yeah, he gave me opportunity. And guess what, y'all? And I still don't take no credit. Because guess what? It was just my time. It wasn't their time. It was my time. Fact about it, even before Myron Holmes came here, I mean, one of my own professors, and I know he can preach his word, but it wasn't his time. He even was here in New Jerusalem. But guess what? It wasn't his time. And we have the utmost respect for one another. And you know what he said? He said, Myron, that wasn't for me. That was for you. Do you hear me? Favor outweighs promotion any day. Do y'all hear me? If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, now I'm going to tell you something, my friend. I mean, you can't have no better favor on your life than what God has done for us through his son, Jesus Christ.